Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
That's great.
Every time you guys announce it, she says it with you, number for number.
That's great.
That's beautiful.
Yeah, man. Well, we appreciate you. We love you guys. We listen almost every morning.
Oh, beautiful. Okay. Thank you for the kind words. They are greatly appreciated. And every now and then, just like when Budenholzer told his team, you can do it. You need a little encouragement to just continue in this job, as often it seems like a blind endeavor into the dark. We're talking to Jeff Bergman, who is both Bugs Bunny and Yogi Bear. If Bugs Bunny and Yogi Bear were going to do a ball game of some sort, what would that sound like?
Well, all right, folks. There he is, LeBron James, coming down the court. There he is. Up, nope, he's a little bit of a crybaby. That's right, Doc. Up.
Hey, oh boy, there's Anthony Davis dribbling down the court. And I'm talking about not that dribble, another dribble.
All right, there he is, folks. The action is about to start. Oh, there's a foul. Ow! And that's all, folks.
Jeff Bergman.
The time.
Wake up with Defo, joined by Luby. Welcome to the Defo Show.
Only usual references apply, do they not? Welcome back to the show. Good to have you guys with us. Thanks so much for tuning in. 940 Wins, 1230 The Zone. And we can be heard around the world on the iHeart Radio app. That is a great advancement in public broadcasting. Well, it's not really public broadcasting, I guess, right? Because that sounds like we're on, WLRN or one of those stations. We've got your jazz lineup tonight. No, we are broadcasting to the public here, and it's a large public with the iHeartRadio app. We certainly appreciate that. On the ALT Defo Show, brought to you by Altitude International, Jeff DeForest, Mike Luby Lubitz, on an Even Keel Wednesday, and Mike Mayo, the Gambling Gourmet, will join us later on. He turned us on to the Even Keel. Steve Weich of NFL Network. Steve is great at what he does. So proud of Steve Weich, who has no relation to Sam. I can hear you thinking that. No, he was not related to Sam Weich, who also was a very affable and approachable guy, Sam Weich, the football coach, very innovative guy, a guy that had a little feeling for offense. And that would be the big concern for the Miami Dolphins. We'll get into some Dolphin conversation. And also, Steve's in Houston. He's going to call us from Houston, where he's sitting on for NFL Network, the Deshaun Watson story, which I don't know. What's going to happen there? How do they allow this guy to play with all those allegations going against him? Luby, now, innocent until proven guilty.
Yeah, because he hasn't been charged
at all. That's applicable.
It's just straight-up allegations. However, guys have been penalized before, put on the non-exempt list and all this just to be safe. I don't understand how you don't do that here.
Deshaun, does this not reflect well on some of our sponsors?
Exactly.
The Geico people in particular are very upset. Budweiser's not too happy about some of these things that are being said about you. Rusty Harden, his attorney. Is Rusty just one of the great blowhards of all time, or is he like a brilliant attorney? I'm not sure. Rusty Harden.
Now,
we've seen
talented.
Him before.
I just love that Watson went right for Harden. Isn't that the guy that defended Clemens? Isn't that why I know Harden?
Yeah, he's had several famous clients, and Roger Clemens, of course. I mean, what was his defense there? He used the woman defense, remember?
Yes.
What the hell was that? I mean, imagine that. One of the greatest ever closing arguments made in terms of its overall impact on a case. What was something you would have been thrown out of law school for even attempting? Johnny Cochran, if it doesn't fit, you must acquit, with a stocking cap on his head. They would have tossed him out of, like, freshman law, would they not, if he had attempted that?
Honestly.
Some mock courtroom, they would have said, what the hell? Are you kidding me, Johnny? And it worked. And I guess that's what happened there with Clemens, because it did seem a little strange, the circumstances, with that, Brian McNamee? Was that the guy's name? He was some character, too, huh? Real slimy character. Anyway, good to be with you. Speaking of slimy characters, Jeff DeForest, Michael Luby, Lubitz. The Greek comes your way 3 o'clock this afternoon. Marlins baseball later on tonight. And the deal Volkswagen DeForest files, I mean, it had to be, didn't it? We were being facetious talking about NBC and how they had all their eggs in one basket, and that was Simone Biles for their televising of the Olympic Games, which I don't know how many billions is involved in rights fees alone, Mike Luby-Lubitz. Plus, you're tying up all of your networks and your main network, while ABC and Fox, CBS, they're feasting on the fact that you're stuck with these lame Olympic Games that nobody's watching. Now, I like it. I have to say, I don't mind. I'm watching. Is this a sign that you have far too much time on your hands when you're watching time trial cycling, which has like, I mean, just guys going individually and they're riding and you would have no idea. You know, it looks like they're going fast. And then at times you're looking and going, this guy's hardly pedaling. What the hell is that? And they're going like 100 miles through the mountains and everything on a time trial. And then winding through the streets like they were in some Grand Prix race. And, you know, they're spaced like about 90 seconds apart. I guess they start 90 seconds apart. So they're not really ever riding in conjunction or in any kind of connection with each other. It's great, man. And they just zero in on, like, one guy, and you're watching this going, my God, oh, what has happened to my life? There isn't enough time for me to be consuming even a single split second with this. But I find myself watching it. You know, I do like some of the weenie stuff. And, of course, you know, one of the great things about the Olympics was always the stories. But we know for the purpose of television coverage, the Olympic Games definitely need a centerpiece. They need a star. And that was Simone Biles. And to suggest that she was not going to be competing, it seemed like an outrageous joke, didn't it, Luby? I mean, it's not like she was going to go running up to the balance beam and remember the fat kid in gym class? Because fat guys weren't very good with the that little springboard thing. Were you any good with that, Luby? That was
like
a sure
anything,
sign of an ankle breakage.
Anything gymnastics? I didn't like diving boards. I didn't like any of that stuff. I didn't like the hurdles. I liked running, jumping, and playing. I didn't like any of this other stuff with outside influences involved. I was good. No way.
Naturally, I had certain degenerate connections even while in high school, Luby. And we used to take action on which fat kid would splatter himself into the center of the balance beam while trying to mount it, and or just go smack stomach first into the pommel horse while attempting to do some kind of springboard technique there, as if he was like Greg Louganis on the high board at the Olympics. By the way, we don't even have a diver, do we? Do we have anything besides Simone Biles? Are we done? Dream team, you're saying? Racking it up on Iran? Rack 'em. You know, it just, they have to be suicidal, right? Is it razor blades or cyanide? That would be the choice, 30 Rock today. Razor blades, cyanide. What do you think? What do you think would be the method of choice there? I shouldn't suggest this, right? And and I don't mean to make light of any mental health issues, trust me.
No,
I mean,
no.
Well, we're not mind readers. Anybody, you know, it seems almost unthinkable that Simone Biles, and people would say might be cracking under the pressure, because she seemed so well-adjusted to all of this. I mean, this young girl's been doing this. She's 24 now. She's like a geezer in this sport, right? This is like Brady playing into his 60s in gymnastics, for the most part, is it not? I mean, there are no old gymnasts. You know, they're like 12-year-olds.
I mean, she's not old in life, but 24 is very old for a gymnast. 24 is very old.
And she's performed magnificently under these very same spotlights, no?
Yeah, she's been
tremendous.
So
it's a very, very unusual story. Very unusual story. No question about it. It reminds me, too, and people are very judgmental about this sort of thing. Are they not, Mike Luby-Lubitz? It seems like if you're a likable figure like Simone Biles, extremely likable, her Q rating has to be off the chart. That's why she's in every commercial. That's why NBC was basing much of that, what they were doing coverage-wise around Simone Biles. I mean, constantly. How long have they been teasing Simone Biles going for the gold?
God, months. Months. It's the only thing you saw was Biles when it came to the Olympics.
My God. Can you imagine? What do you think the executive meeting was like yesterday?
Ooh,
what the hell are we supposed to do now, you moron?
Is Phelps available? Can we get Phelps? Is new Usain?
They have Phelps on the coverage. He's actually a very entertaining
analyst.
Want to put on
trunks?
Yeah. But, yeah, we were joking about it. I remember, though, when Ricky Williams, of course, left the Dolphins, and we later found out that the reason was that he didn't want to, you know, have it come out first that he had failed a marijuana test. But, you know, and it was all related to his lack of desire to play football and this and that. And people crucified him, and you thought, wow, if you're a child prodigy and you just happen to be great at something, it doesn't mean that that's really what you want to do. Should you be forced to do that just because the people want you to, because they find what you do entertaining? Obviously, no.
No.
You know, nobody should be, you know, forced into that. But the people were particularly cruel. They crucified Ricky Williams for that choice.
Yes.
We later found out that that was a Fugazi reason, and that's why some people are very suspect about, I mean, Naomi Osaka certainly was received in a different way. I don't think she's perceived as being as likable by any stretch as Simone Biles. What would you agree? Because she also took some shots at the media, and then the media, you know, sort of resented that as a collective, did they not? I don't know that I took it personally, but
Biles
you may
is being
have,
treated, because, look, she's won a lot. She's won for America a lot. She's pretty much, if not the best Olympian, on the ridiculously short list for greatest Olympians ever. Not American, just in general. So she's done so much, and she's fought through so much her whole entire life. You can't say she's not tough. You can't say she's not even tough-minded. So I understand trying to understand where she's coming from. My problem is, if she was having these issues, she obviously was having them before, then she should have stood up for herself and said, look, America, look, NBC, look, sponsors, I don't want to do this anymore. You know, if you want me to be on coverage,
well,
I'll do that.
She kind of is at this point.
Yeah, she's doing it now.
Yeah.
Once you accept it, do it. Now, I get it. If your mind's not in the right headspace.
Maybe she didn't know it until she took this tumble. I mean, she came off the vault there like the proverbial fat kid.
It's just very dangerous.
Right,
like, if you're not in the right place with the stuff she tries to attempt, it's dangerous. So she should not be out there. I agree with that. But you just figure this out right now. Like, I find that really hard to believe that she just figured this out right now.
You're so suspicious. You think everybody is Urban Meyer, that they just wanted to get off the campus of the University of Florida because criminal activity was about to catch up.
Look, I've dealt with mental issues. I've gone to therapy, so I can understand it. But it didn't just develop out of nowhere. You know, like, to me, it feels like
anybody
this
in this
new
business has mental issues, Luby.
Exactly.
You know that for a fact. I
it mean, just feels
can you
like
name any normal
new
people that you've met?
The new rehab. Remember years ago, it'd be like, oh, when they would get arrested for, like, robbing a Brinks truck, even though they were an NFL player. Oops, I'm going to rehab now. Like, it always
everybody's
felt like
bipolar. That was the way out.
Exactly.
Everybody was bipolar.
I don't know. I don't want to spit
at
mentally.
As soon as you had, like, any incident, you know what? I'm bipolar.
Exactly.
And that's unfortunate, because then people that really are bipolar are often misunderstood as a result of the fact that there were a lot of people that just made that claim without any foundation. All right, we're coming back with more. Speaking of claims without foundation, we are going to return with more. And also, Steve Weich of NFL Network going to join us. Should be interesting. He's sitting on top of that story with Deshaun Watson, which is a powder keg right now. Mike Luby Lubitz, among the many things happening on the NFL scene. Brett Tesser, the agent of the Stars, usually with us on Tuesday, going to join us today. Mike Mayo, the gambling gourmet. And then I don't know that there was ever anybody more insightful when we were first circulating conversations about this Aaron Rodgers, the situation with Aaron Rodgers and the Iron Sheik. I mean, it sounds like a Gordon Sully thing, the situation with Aaron Rodgers and Green Bay. But Bill Michaels out of the Midwest, man, this guy is a monster. And he was all over this story long before it even started to become in the public eye. And he'll be with us late in the show, about 9:45 this morning. Back with more in a moment. Now that.
The time.
Michaels is great. It's 7:22. Little piece of the summit, you got Kim Jong-un, one side of the table,
yes.
Donald Trump, other side of the table, and in the middle mediating, nice. Dennis Rodman.
Here, boy, say a few words, will ya?
I am the shadow.
Boo!
Hey, you gonna eat that chicken alone?
No, maybe if I wait, I'll get some potatoes.
What kind?
Mashed.
You got 'em. Hey, what do you think you're doing, playing poker? Quit stacking a deck.
Oh! The puckless persimmon. You're worth 10 grand to me.
Yeah, now get out there and mingle with the guests.
Listen, you.
Mingle or I'll mangle.
Oh, that's different.
I guess we're safe. Don't have to worry about getting blown off the face of the planet anytime soon by this maniac.
It's now time for The Defoe Show.
It is 728 on 728. How about that, Mike Luby Lubitz? Welcome back to the show. Good to have you guys with us. Hey, Deal Volkswagen DeForest Biles is on tap, talking about this Simone Biles thing. They had to be out of sorts there at NBC. Am I making too much of this, Luby? Does anybody really care what happens if this network takes a financial bloodbath as a result of the Olympic Games? It does seem outrageous, the idea that they could make all their money back. Then they send everybody out there. I think they even dug Matt Lauer out of retirement or something to come back and pump up the games. Anything,
I don't know if they went that far, but yes, they pretty went all in with Biles.
Yeah, Lauer probably would be a poor choice here if they
You're
were
bad.
Trying to sell advertising on a network. I'm not sure we want to be associated with that, man. Anyway, you know the whole picture, right? They send the Today Show. Al Roker is like in the Winter Games on skis, and he's doing a weather report. And you know, they become part of the whole games. They're intertwined and integrated right into it. And this was the big selling point with Simone Biles. And, you know, obviously, it is true, though. If somebody's a very likable person and they suddenly bring forward the idea of their mental health not being, you know, well, with a clean slate, whatever the problem may be, we don't know. Can't diagnose it, obviously, on the air. It's strange, and we'll say this in the DeForest Files. I'm sure they at NBC would have much rather been showing Simone Biles on the gold medal podium, smiling with the girls, then trying to explain a very difficult situation at a press conference. No, that had to be painful. But yeah, I mean, I don't know. Does anybody care the financial bloodbath that's on top here for NBC, Luby?
Oh no. It's not our. It's not up for me.
They made enough money on Seinfeld, you're saying, to keep them going forever. They'll be okay.
Exactly.
I would imagine so. All right, CALT Defo Show brought to you by Altitude International. That was a big story. Xavien Howard, he did show up at training camp, says he's going to be a professional, and then he had like a Gettysburg Address type of tweet, did he not?
Yes.
Explaining
very
the
long
situation
and it was
here.
A little confusing.
Pointed a finger at the Dolphins front office and said, "These guys are rats, unscrupulous pigs." No, he didn't quite say that, but I don't want to put words in his mouth, but it wasn't very favorable. All right, coming back with more in a moment. There are a lot of people out there that think Stephen Ross is a bozo. I don't know, Luby. What do you think?
On this one, I don't blame Ross. I blame Greer for not talking with Howard the last 2 years and letting this get out. But outside of that, the Dolphins did everything right here.
Tough to really get overwhelmingly angry with the Dolphins in their position on this one. But then again, it's all about the fabulous moolah. We know that. All right, back with more in a moment. Now that.
The time.
Steve White will help us out with that from NFL Network. It's 7:31.
I love the fact that they wanted to win so bad that I thought we almost couldn't win.
Welcome back to The Defo Show.
Welcome back to the show. I'm Jeff DeForest along with Mike Luby Lubitz. It's the ALT Defo Show here on 940 Winds, 1230 The Zone, and around the world on the iHeartRadio app. Somebody suggested to us that we tap into our West Coast sources when it comes to the National Football League, and there's nobody better at this, and we appreciate him coming on the show early in the morning. Then NFL Network reporter and a man you can find on Twitter at Weish89. Former Miami Herald writer and then went on to the Washington Post and now NFL Network, a superstar there. We welcome to the show our good friend Steve Weish joins us here on the program. Steven, how are you?
I'm doing great, guys. Thanks for having me. I'm here in Houston today getting ready for all of the exciting Deshaun Watson news and the latest with the Texans. So
it is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woo-hooer, a hand clapper, a high-fiver? I kind of like the high-five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void or prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
When you make decisions for your company, you look for the no-brainers. And if you have a lot of mailing to do, Stamps.com is the ultimate no-brainer. Mail checks, invoices, documents, and everything you need to keep your business running. Get rates up to 89% off USPS and UPS. And with the mobile app, you can take care of mailing on the go. Make the same no-brainer decisions as over 1 million other businesses with Stamps.com. Sign up at Stamps.com with code PROGRAM for a special offer. That's Stamps.com, code PROGRAM.
Yeah, a quarterback story would you rather be on? Aaron Rodgers, I guess, strolled in with a playbook and a surfboard at Lambeau today, so that was much ado about nothing. I don't know how many words were written about it and how many hours of sports talk debate, radio and television, were dedicated to it, but it turned out that he's back there in Green Bay and apparently going to give it another shot here, although I guess he uses leverage to get a little bit of a bargaining chip. How complicated is this Deshaun Watson story, and what do you see playing out there, Steve Weich?
Well, it's super complicated, especially now that he reported. I mean, you know, the talk has been for months, you know, and I've heard it from people that, you know, he doesn't want to be here. You know, and then, of course, you've got the 22 civil lawsuits playing out. So now you have a guy who reports so he doesn't get fined. If he doesn't get traded before they take the field tomorrow, is he someone they say, okay, look, you can take the field, but just work to the side? Are you going to put him in to try to get him ready? It's just super complicated. And then any team that may want to trade for him, and I've heard there are teams very interested. You know, just his uncertain legal situation, it is a risk. You know, are you gonna give up a lot of assets for a guy who either this season or after the season, you know, might have some legal situations which keeps him on the field, which or keeps him off the field, you know, which puts you in a bind for all the assets you gave up, you know, taking a risk on him. So it's gonna be interesting to see how it plays out. From everything I heard since he reported Sunday, he's been professional and all that good stuff. But the real, you know, the rubber hits the road in this situation starting tomorrow.
Talking with the one and only Steve Weich. Follow him up on Twitter at Weich89, NFL Network reporter. Also, NFL Network inside training camp continues today at 1 p.m. And also, big fan. He has a really fun podcast, co-host of the Huddle and Flow podcast with Jim Trotter. Steve Weich again with us. Let me ask you, because it's interesting. It feels like a lot of this revolves as much around Aaron Rodgers as Jordan Love. Like, if Jordan Love was ready, you would think they would have traded him around the draft, yet he was not traded, and now they've worked on contract stuff. What have you heard about Jordan Love? Like, how ready is he to take over as an NFL franchise quarterback?
Well, I mean, you know, he's not ready yet, especially when the bar is set at Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah.
And you know, look, they wouldn't – like you said, if he was that dude, if he was Patrick Mahomes, like when they made the transition from Alex Smith to Patrick Mahomes, they would have moved on. They would have traded Aaron Rodgers and not dealt with any of this drama. But this is a player – who, you know, was drafted high last year, who didn't get a preseason, who didn't get, you know, in-person off-season workouts because of COVID. So he hasn't had any experience, you know, because when they started getting ready in training camp, it was Aaron Rodgers. So this is basically de facto rookie year for him. So he's not ready. And so, you know, it's unfair to really judge anything based on, you know, where Jordan Love stands, you know. And this is also an organization that is so huge on legacy and history to just all of a sudden kick Aaron Rodgers out after what you went through with Brett Favre several years ago, you know, it would just be a completely weird situation. So, you know, you nail it, though. If Jordan Love happened to be one of these real special players, then they would have moved on, but that's just not the case right now.
NFL Network reporter Steve Weich with us here, and, of course, longtime friend from his days at the Miami Herald, with us on 940 Wins, 1230 The Zone. Who is holding more press conferences in Houston, David Culley or Rusty Harden right now?
So, well, Rusty Harden's got the lead. David Culley's got some catching up to do.
Yeah, he jumped right out of the chute on top there and was firing out all kinds of different things. I think, you know, his basic theme was woman, what woman? And we'll see how that plays out. Obviously, a very sensitive and potentially ugly situation. Do the Dolphins regret, in your opinion, Steve Weich, taking Tua Tagovailoa instead of Justin Herbert, or should they?
No, I mean, look, we saw the early returns. You know, Justin Herbert came out and balled out. But last I checked, the Chargers didn't come close to making the playoffs last year. So, look, it's a situation where the Dolphins liked Tua. They say, you know, all the reports are things are a lot better this offseason because he had an offseason where he's not worried about medical rehab. He's focused on learning the offense. Last year he was learning more scout team than he was the Dolphins offense when at the time he was put in to play. So, everything I heard, no regrets whatsoever. And they think he's going to have a really good year. You know, now they change offensive coordinators. Now it's Eric Studisville and George Gotze. And he worked with Gotze a lot personally last year, so I think that'd be a smoother, you know, transition. I think you're going to have a coaching staff that supports him more now because last year there was a split with guys want Fitzpatrick to play instead of Tua, and they went out and got him weapons. So, you know, now I think the pressure is all on Tua to come out and perform because the support has been put in place.
What do you make of the Finns? I mean, we were talking about them on the show yesterday, and in our little editorial segment, the DeForest Files, I was saying that, you know, in terms of production to perceived talent on the roster, Brian Flores has done great, right? He won 5 games with a bunch of guys who were picking up at gas stations at the end of the season, and then he won 10 games with a team that really, you know, was kind of confusing as to where exactly they were at with their quarterback and their offense, with Chan Gailey putting a stranglehold on the offense as well. What do you see happening with this team? Are they actually going in the right direction? And you know how sensitive the people are here in South Florida from your days covering the team with the Miami Herald. We're still waiting for Marino to come back, but is this happening? Is this process actually valid right now that we're looking at, and we can expect more progress in this third season with these guys?
It sure does look like it. I mean, you know, now, you know, look, last year they were the top takeaway team on defense. They generated a ton of points on defense, either with defensive scores or getting short fields that resulted in the offense putting points on the board. And so now they've got some players on offense. I mean, if Devontae Parker stays healthy, if Will Fuller stays healthy, two big ifs. Okay, but they add Jalen Waddle. You know, we'll see. The running back situation still perplexes me a little bit, but, you know, we'll see how things work there. But, I mean, I think the offensive line is going to be better with some of the maturity that they have on the offensive line. So, yeah, I mean, the expectation is there. You know, when you're hearing about the top tier of the AFC, sure, you're hearing right now Chiefs, Bills, Ravens, Browns, but the Dolphins have got to be knocking on that door to be included in the top tier. And that division is going to be tough. I mean, the Bills are good. The Patriots, I think people are expecting them to bounce back a little bit. But I think the floor now for what the Dolphins did based off the ascension you just talked about has been raised. And it should be raised because they've had time to acquire the talent that they want to acquire to get the coaching staff together that they want to have. And Brian Flores has shown himself to be one hell of a leader and one hell of a coach. So, yeah, I mean, everything looks like it is trending in the right direction, which is why, you know, I think there is so much pressure on Tua Tagovailoa to go ahead and deliver this year because they invested so much in him and they've built everything around him for him to succeed.
Steve Weich, NFL Network. He is the Ed Bradley of NFL Network reporters. What Ed was to 60 yes. Minutes, Steve is to the NFL Network. Great on Twitter, as we said, at Weich89. And, of course, the NFL Network continues their inside training camp, which is great. Now, with all the resources you guys have at the NFL Network, of course, your connections are very deep and widespread. And you got Rappaport there and the people on Good Morning Football. Is anybody aware of some secret surgery that Cam Newton had? You mentioned the Patriots. Some German doctor or something that repaired his shoulder because... I mean, this guy looked like a shot fighter to me. I know he used to dabble a little boxing, but if ever there was a definition of a shot fighter, it was Cam Newton throwing a football last year. So what did Belichick see in this guy that we completely whiffed on? Or is he really thinking that, you know, he's got the replacement with the kid from Alabama that he drafted?
Yeah, look, I think this is going to be a far more open competition at quarterback than what may be perceived. I don't think this is – it's Cam Newton's job to lose, but I don't think he's got a stranglehold on it. Look, they know that Cam, he did come back. Remember, he was playing well early. You know, we can sit there and make all the jokes you want about him. He was playing well early last year. He got COVID And Cam admitted that he just never really recovered after coming back from COVID. He was never physically right. And the offense didn't work. Plus, you know, Defo, he was throwing to you and me. I mean, where were the threats, right? And they still have room to grow in that regard. But, you know, from everything I'm hearing, you know, and we know the Patriots, they're going to play the best players. And if Mac Jones happens to be the quarterback, then they'll play him. It's just that's a very difficult offense. And I think the reason why Cam, you know, is ahead of Jones right now is he has been there for a year. He knows a lot of the things, you know, in terms of scheme and how Josh McDaniels wants it run. But I think he's on a fairly short leash, you know, if he does, and you know, get the starting job. But, you know, look, Cam, I think is someone, this is the prove it year for him. Last year, you know, again, he had COVID. He was coming off the surgery. Now he's supposed to be healthy. If this isn't it, then maybe he does go into the Vinny Pazienza Hall of Fame.
Nice.
You know, and you know, and that's that.
Last couple of things here with Steve Weish, NFL Network reporter, also co-host of the Huddle and Flow podcast with Jim Trotter. It's really good. You guys got to check it out wherever you stream your podcast, at Weish89 on Twitter. 941 is on the iHeartRadio app. Steve, I want to bounce out west. As Zifo talked about, you do reside out west. It's funny, the Bucs won the Super Bowl last year out of the NFC, but the team that was there the year before and had a good shot of going back if they didn't lose like half their roster last year to injury was the San Francisco 49ers, and they did draft a quarterback top three, but Jimmy Garoppolo's still there, and they supposedly put all the confidence in Jimmy Garoppolo. Not a lot of people are talking about the Niners outside of like Vegas and the odds makers. What are your thoughts on the Niners? Because to me, it feels like they have as good a shot as anyone to come out of the NFC.
100%. 100%. The Niners, because, you know, where they really got hit last year, you know, besides losing, you know, Garoppolo was on defense. I mean, you lose Bosa. You lose so many key players. And their defense is what generated field position so often for their offense. And so you get that pass pressure back. You know, that's going to help in that division because you got some pretty good quarterbacks who can move around and do some things with the ball in the NFC West. But with Garoppolo there, the offense just – it runs smoothly. Yeah, he's not great. He's not the guy who's going to put up the consistent 300-yard passing games. But that offense is based off of the run game. You've got running backs who were hurt last year who hit the big play. I mean, that's the one thing with this offense. If you have running backs who get through that first – you know, that first line, that first wave of defenders, they can all go. And then they draft Trey Sermon, who's another big play hitter. This thing could really work. I mean, it's just weird, though. The Niners are kind of like the Chargers. It's those teams that seem to be consistently bogged down by injuries. You know, we saw George Kittle go out last year. So there's always that big if, because Garoppolo's been so fragile as well. And you know, those guys stay healthy, they're going to be right there. They're going to be a real tough out, but they've just been so beset by injuries over and over. It's hard not to think that that's not going to be a factor again this year. You know, John Lynch has said they've got to be, you know, have more depth at some of those key positions, and they've done that. They've just really got to be ready to for other guys to step up if there are some injuries.
The great Steve Weish of NFL Network with us here on 940 Wins, 1230 The Zone, and around the world on the iHeartRadio app. You realize you're tap dancing on treacherous turf, Steve, because you agreed with Luby twice so far during the course of this conversation, and that is often
yeah,
wrong.
Yeah, but I dropped Vinny Pazienza in there for you.
Yeah, so. That's
I immediately pictured him with that pyramid on his head there after he had the car accident, still trying to fight that with Lou Duva saying, "You can do it, kid. You can do it." All right, final thing, and this has always been a mystery to me. I've been following sports forever, my whole life, and covering sports, and you keep hearing these cliches about the offense was vanilla and we didn't want to show anything. What is it that's so secret about NFL offenses that everybody is afraid? It seems to me you're watching, unless Bill Walsh, you know, comes back and, you know, somehow rises back up and throws the West Coast offense a new wrinkle out there. We've seen everything, and we know what the team's characteristics are. So why are they so reluctant to do anything in the preseason? And we get stuck with cliches after preseason games like, well, we were very vanilla. That's nothing like what we're going to look like during the regular season. No, what is it that they're afraid to show in the preseason?
Well, I mean, look, teams don't want to tip. I mean, but default, you're not going to see anything anymore because no starters are going to play. With 17 games, we're going to see nothing but backups in the preseason. Seriously.
Oh my God.
Wow.
If you've got to manage, if you've got to manage 17 games over 18 weeks with only one bye, you're not going to risk injury to key starters in the preseason. So you're not going to see a lot of detail. You're going to see situational football to see if these young players who are fighting for backup spots and maybe some rotational spots, can do some things under certain situations. But they're just trying to learn the offense as it is because they're not going to be game planning against what a defense, you know, the defenses aren't showing their hands either. So they're not game planning against what this team's going to do in the situation on third and two on the 45. So, yeah, it's just, hey, you do what you do in your scheme, the best you can do it, but you're not going to see Tua and all these guys out there in the preseason. They've got to stay healthy over 17, and that is what it is.
I just put my preseason ticket plan up on StubHub after you said that. what would be the point
of going to a game? It is no secret there, man. It's been that way for two or three years.
Yeah, I mean, at least you used to get like a half a game where you thought, all right, this might be what it looks like. But then they would always denounce it by saying, well, we didn't do anything. We didn't want to show anything today. And I'm thinking, who hasn't seen what it is that the Dolphins or the Patriots in general like to do, or Brady for that matter? Always a pleasure, Steve. You're great. Tremendous job. I don't know. What distinctions and honors did you not pick up during the offseason? Because I saw on your social media page, you won like every award that was ever given out by like any university or college or organization.
Yeah, that's not true. The only award I pretty much won was keeping the dishes clean, keeping the kitchen clean, and sweeping the floor award from my wife. You know, it was the first time too, and I was quite proud of that.
I'm being very humble. I mean, you've been valedictorian a zillion places. It's fantastic. And we're really proud of you. I'm proud to know you. And congratulations on all your success with the NFL Network and the other endeavors you're involved in. Always a pleasure, my friend. Hope to talk to you many times during the course of the season.
Appreciate you guys. You take care.
Be well, Steve. Thanks.
Steve Weinsch, ladies and gentlemen, from the NFL Network. Very distinguished gentleman, and you can tell just a great guy, well-informed as well. All right, we're coming back with a lot more. We're going to get into a little Miami Dolphins training camp with David Ferronis, now the beat writer on the Dolphins circuit for the Sun Sentinel. He switched over from the Hurricanes. Brett Tesler, the agent of the Stars, later on Mike Mayo, gambling gourmet, and Bill Michaels out of the Midwest. All coming up in a moment. Now that.
The time.
It's 7:55.
We will get probably most likely we will get less because I had a better deal 2 days ago.
Than what you got now?
Yep.
You had a better offer for Cousins
well,
2 days ago?
Talk to those agents. What they say.
Welcome back to The Defoe Show.
Down, set, HUD, Blue 42, 5-1 right. Training camp. We're going right there in the next few minutes here on 940 Wins, 1230 The Zone, and around the world on the iHeart Radio app. As David Ferronis, now a beat writer on the Dolphins beat. He did a dynamite job on the Hurricanes for us, covering the Canes with the Sun Sentinel. Now the Dolphins beat writer out at training camp. And he'll give us the latest, the skinny, on what's going on out there with Xavien Howard and all the other happenings on the Dolphins beat. Brett Tesler, the agent of the Stars, later on. Mike Mayo, the gambling gourmet. Bill Michaels on Aaron Rodgers, the king of Midwest radio. Bill Michaels going to join us in the 9 o'clock hour. Back with more in a moment. Now that.
The time.
It's 8:02.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.